From PJ Media on Monday, the Supreme Court, ruled that states can impose penalties on members of the Electoral College who violate their pledges to vote for their party's candidate. State legislatures set the rules for choosing electors to the college that selects the president of the United States, and most of them appoint electors from the two major parties based on the state's popular vote in the November election. The Constitution requires state legislatures to choose how to appoint electors. Some might say that penalizing faithless electors might eviscerate the central purpose of the college under the Federalist Papers. But if that were so, the Constitution would have been more explicit on the issue. Helping us to work through what all of this means is our lawyer extraordinaire, friend of the show, Jeff O'Brien. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So did the Supreme Court just eviscerate the central purpose of the Electoral College? Or is this just furthering the state's ability to determine how they want to appoint and decide what the way their electors go?
Yeah, I think to the contrary, I think they have reaffirmed the purpose of the validity of the Electoral College. But at the same time, you're right. They did give the states the ability to ensure that the electors do what they are supposed to do. If, you know, each state has, you know, every presidential election, every state, each, you know, has a set of electors that would go for either candidate. And so when you go vote on election day, when you're voting for president, you're actually voting for the slate of electors for that candidate in that state. And the case arose out of a couple of attempts to, in the 2016 election, ironically, it's by Hillary Clinton electors voting for a different candidate, but if you read the opinion, supposedly their intent was to try to get Trump electors to vote for those same people to try to deny a Electoral College win for President Trump.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit? John and I are both looking at each other a little.
No, I mean that's what they were. So what happened was, the states assessed penalties. They call it the faithless elector law, meaning, you know, the elector has to be faithful to, you know, the candidate that they have, you know, are, you know, assigned to vote for when the actual vote of the presidential electors happens. So what happened was, both in Washington and in Colorado, they have laws that, and a lot of states have, I think I've read some, like 32 states have these penalties where if an elector, for a particular candidate, votes for cast their vote for someone other than that candidate, they can be fined. And that's what happened here. And so the case was upholding the validity of those faithless elector laws to make sure that states gives the states the ability to ensure that the electors, when they vote, reflect the popular vote in their state. So to me, it helps show that the Electoral College, there's a lot of laws in place already that help ensure the Electoral College accurately represents the popular vote from that state. And I think it's interesting, too, that it was a 9-0 decision. I think that's the Supreme Court saying, don't screw around with Electoral College. And there's been a lot of chatter about that in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
So take this and let's just hype it, because I'm honestly still a little confused. So let's get into some real world dynamics here. Can you take this and apply it to the 2016 election? Would this have potentially changed anything about the outcome of that election? Does it change the dynamics at all?
No.
Okay.
There was an attempt on behalf of electors in two states to try to whip up other electors to vote for somebody other than the candidate that won the popular vote in their state. Now, in these two states we're dealing with, you had electors for Clinton, but they were one voted for John Kasich, and there were three in Washington that voted for Colin Powell. But according to the case and the backstory I've been reading, what they were trying to do was to get Trump electors in other states to vote for either Colin Powell or John Kasich or someone else so that Donald Trump would not get 270 electoral votes in the country. So it was, you know, electors going rogue. That's the best way I can explain it. And what this case dealt with was saying states have the ability to punish electors that go rogue.
Gotcha.
Do we know how many states currently have laws in place that punish faithless electors?
I read somewhere like 32.
Okay. Okay.
So it's the majority of states that have these laws, which is what you need to have when you have this system that we do with the people not electing a candidate. They are electing the set of electors. So the electors darn well better follow the will of the people when they go to cast a vote. Otherwise, why have the Electoral College? So I think this reaffirmed and strengthened the standing of the Electoral College.
All right. Excellent. Well, that's why we brought you on, Jeff O'Brien. Thank you so much for helping us decipher this decision and breaking it down for us.
No problem. Thanks as always for having me on.
Take care.